All right. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Before I get into this, let's ask the Lord to bless His Word and to bless us and to enable us to worship Him this morning in spirit and truth. That's why we're here. So that's the number one reason why we are here, is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we come into Your presence this morning. We gather here as Your children, desiring to hear a word from our Father. Instruct us this morning. Arrest our attention. Enable us to give unto You the glory that's due unto Your name. Enable us to, as much as possible, to forget the cares of this life, to cast all our cares upon Thee, and to worship. To worship our Father. To give thanks, to be instructed. Teach us this morning. Enable us to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Tom and Bridget as they take some time off. Lord, bless them and bring them home safely. And what we pray and ask for ourselves here this morning, we pray and ask for all Your people and all Your servants who are standing to preach. We recognize that no man is sufficient for these things. God is our sufficiency. We look to Thee this morning. In spite of us, get glory to Your name. Enable us to leave this place this morning rejoicing in God our Savior. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask these things. And amen. Look in verse 8 is where I'm going to bring the message from. But verse 7 it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." That is, over in the margin it says, "are the guides." They are your guides. God has given to the church pastors and teachers to do just what I'm doing this morning. To instruct, to teach, and to guide the flock. They're not lords over God's heritage, but guides, like a shepherd would guide sheep. And then he says here, "Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Tom takes the word of God here, and I listened to him on the radio this morning coming up. I remembered. I told Vicki, I said, "He's on at 8:30. Brought a good message out of the Word of God. And you have that preached to you every week. Can you imagine the mercy of God? As we go through our lives every week, and we stumble and fall, and we don't worship God, and we don't render unto Him the glory that's due unto His name as we ought to. And yet, every week He feeds us. Not only physically, but spiritually. He feeds us. He feeds us out of His Word. He provides you with a pastor to instruct and teach. And how we ought to give thanks to God for that every day. Every day. And to pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. You know, Spurgeon would always say that he accounted that attributed a great part of his power in preaching was that the flock prayed for him. The people prayed for him. It says, "whose faith follow." Someone said to me one time, said, you follow Henry Mahan. You just follow him. I said, "So what? What's your point?" Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." You know, if you got a faithful pastor, follow him. Follow his instructions. God gave him. "Considering the end of their conversation." What's the end of Tom's conversation here every Sunday and every Wednesday? Christ. Pointing you to Christ. That's the end, and that'll be the end of my conversation with you today. is the Lord Jesus Christ. And my subject this morning has to do with Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so thankful that there's one who never changes. Doesn't even cast a shadow of change at all. I'm so thankful there's one, because I've changed a lot over the years. You know, Vicki and I was talking coming up this morning about the early ministry that we sat under Henry Mahan. I heard Henry when I was about 23 years old. We packed our bags and we moved to Ashland. And what we talked about, what a powerful ministry that the Lord gave him and what we sat under. And I've seen a lot of changes go on over the years. I was 23 years old. Now I'm 60. Turned 60 this year, and Henry turned 90. And he was 53 when I went there. And I've seen a lot of changes. Think of the changes our grandparents have seen. My dad would talk about going up the creek in a wagon. They was in the wagon days. And look what they've seen. I think what my grandparents, the changes they have witnessed. Well, they're gone now, but what they had witnessed while they were here. They went from horse and buggy to flying airplanes and driving fast cars and turn on the lights. I can remember visiting an uncle of mine had gas lights. They had gas lights in their house. And now it's just electric and air conditioned. And I remember growing up on the farm, I had to sleep upstairs, and it was like a sweat box. It was absolutely like a sweat box. And now it's just so comfortable. The home is so comfortable. What changes we've gone through, and what changes our country's gone through. I don't think my grandkids will know the country I've known growing up. I just don't think they will. And all the changes that's gone on. But there's one that hasn't changed at all. In any way, in absolutely any way, shape, or form. Sometimes you run into someone you haven't seen for a long time. You say, boy, you've changed a lot. He hasn't changed not one bit at all. And I want to talk about a few things here that he hasn't changed in. Things that are dear to us, that are very meaningful to us. And the first one is this: his love. His love to me never changes. How many times have we seen him say, I do, then later on, I don't? I mean, it happens. Human love grows cold. Human love grows cold. But God's love never changes. Through all the changes that I go through, and through all the sinfulness that I am and that I still do, and Paul said, I do that which I would not do. We do that every day, don't we? We do things every day. We think things every day that we wish we wouldn't think. You say, how many times have you said, why did I say that? Why did I do that? You just want to kick yourself. You know, you just, why? But his love to me, through all the changes that I go through, never changes. It's still just as fervent, just as pure, as when he first loved me. He has loved us, the Scripture says, with an everlasting love. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. We need to see this in the Word of God. Jeremiah 31. Let me look at the verse. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, because of this, because I have loved you with an everlasting love, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Why did God call you by the gospel? Why do you believe the gospel? Why are you here this morning? Because God loved you with an everlasting love. And He said, I've drawn you. And He drew us here again this morning. If He left us alone, we'd leave Him alone. If God would leave me alone, I'd leave Him alone. You know, He said to His disciples one time concerning the Pharisees, leave them alone. But He hasn't left us alone. He's loved us with an everlasting love, and that love never changes. It doesn't matter if a David commits adultery, if he has her husband murdered, God's love toward him doesn't waver one bit. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? It's hard to comprehend. His love never changes. And then His power never changes. His ability to keep me from falling never changes. Time, you know, time has a lot of effect on our power, doesn't it? It has a real effect on us. It has no effect on Him. Whatever my situation might be right now, whatever maybe tough trial I may be going through right now, is not a reflection on the power of Christ, but on the will of Christ. Whatever I'm going through is according to His will. I mean, it is. Everything I'm going through, if I'm His, absolutely nothing happens that's not according to His will. And His power to control it is... Oh, if you and I could grab a hold of this. I mean, He's got the power just to move it this way, that way. He has the power. His power never changes, never weakens. He's just as able to save to the uttermost now as before. And He'll still be able to do that tomorrow. Still be able to. He's able to rule and overrule all things. All enemies, all principalities and power are under His power. Really and truly, none can rise up and challenge His power. There's no challenge to God's power. No challenge to His power whatsoever. He says, I say to one, go and he goes. Come and he comes. The centurion recognized that. He said, Lord, I have power. I have power. I can say this one, go and he goes and come and he comes. And all you have to do is speak. And my servant will be healed. My son will be healed. And then here's something else. His word, God's word, never changes. God's word never changes. I wrote this as an article in a bulletin back a few years ago at Hurricane Road. And they reprinted it here a few weeks ago, and I read it, and I thought, I'm going to use that article. And that's why I'm bringing it from that article this morning. But His word never changes. Have you ever changed your word? Did you ever give anybody your word, not able to carry through with it? I've done that. You know, owning a business, you fall into that trap. You try to tell men, you know, here's what you want to do, what you want to pay them. Then all of a sudden the economy goes kaput, and then there you are. You can't fulfill your word, your promises, and what you wanted to do. You're disappointed. God's word does not change. It says this in Numbers, and I'll read it to you. I wrote it down. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I wanted to do it, but I can't. That never falls from the lips of our Lord. I can't will never fall from His lips. What He has promised, He will fulfill. You can count on it. All the promises of God in Christ are what? That's right. Yea and amen. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He'll do that. You say, well, I've done that, and I'm still going through trouble. Oh, he'll deliver you. He'll do it by carrying you through it. Carry you through it. When you go through the waters, I'll be with you. But when you look back, you'll realize He delivered you through it. He delivered you. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hath He spoken, and shall He not make that good? He that cometh to me, and this is a scripture that just gave me great, kept me hanging on when I was a young man, I first heard the gospel. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a promise. And I tell you what, you can hang your hat on His promise. That's in Numbers 23:19. Scripture says, He has magnified His word above His name. Now turn over to Revelations 21. Revelations 21. I'm going to read you a few verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. These words, the Word of God, they're true, and it'll happen just as He said it would. Are you looking for that? Do you honestly believe this is going to happen? God said it's going to happen just as sure as the creation happened, just as sure as we are here this morning. This is going to happen in God's time. We have His word on it. And then His election of me shall never change. His election of me shall never change. He shall never cast off those whom He has chosen. Never. Never. You and I, who believe the gospel, if we truly believe the gospel, we believe because we were chosen of God, called by His grace, born of His Spirit, given ears to hear and eyes to see. Blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, for they hear. You and I will never do anything that He did not already see. I won't do anything that God does not and did not already know about. When He put us in Christ, He knew everything about me. All my down sittings, my uprisings. He knew my thoughts afar off. That's what the psalmist says. You know my thoughts afar off. You know my down sittings, my uprisings. You know everything about me. And yet you still chose me. Now what will I ever do that He doesn't already know about? And hasn't already taken care of. My sins. If I live to be 90, my sins from this day forward are gone. They're gone. As well as my sins from right now backwards. They're gone. They're all gone. My sins, not in part, but the whole, they're all taken away. They're gone. They're gone. And that means His election of me shall never change. He says over Malachi, old Malachi, that's right before Matthew, his last book. I want you to see Malachi chapter 3. in Malachi chapter 3, in verse 6, "For I am the Lord." I am the Lord. That's who I am. "For I, the Lord, I change not. I change not." Now listen what follows. "Therefore, because of this," this is the reason, "you sons of Jacob," or I can say it like this, "you sons of election, are not concerned." Because I don't change. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that, and that's, my brethren, we can live on that. That's bread this morning. That's bread now. That's spiritual bread. That is spiritual nourishment right there. The reason you don't perish with the rest of this world, this unbelieving, God-hating world, the reason you don't perish with Satan, God said, because I don't change. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've chosen you. I've drawn you. And I'm going to keep you. And that's not going to change. That's not going to change. Then the power of His blood never changes. There is no sin that His blood cannot wash away. There's no death. There is no death that I could fall to. And I think David fell to the bottom that his blood cannot cleanse. It still cleanses from all sin. No matter how deep the stain is gone, His blood washes it away. And then His sacrifice will never change. What He did on the cross, who He did it for, will never, ever change. That's why we preach the gospel. If the world stands another 1,000 years or 10,000 years, the way God saves sinners will still be through the preaching of what? Christ and Him crucified. Because that sacrifice never changes. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. It's always fresh. It's always fresh in God's presence. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, He says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." And you know what? It's still there. That lamb still standing before the throne as it had been slain. Fresh. Fresh. It's not rotting. We serve a living Lord. We have a living sacrifice before the throne of God. I don't have a dead sacrifice before God. I have a living sacrifice before God. You know, when they offered up in the Old Testament the blood of bulls and goats, those bulls and goats did not live again. They rotted. They took their hides outside the camp. But our sacrifice is living, ever fresh before the throne of God. And then His grace never changes. God's grace, salvation, first of all, will always be by grace. That will never change. It will always be by grace. We'll be saved by grace. We'll live by grace. We'll die in grace. And we'll go to stand before God by His grace. And then when from the time God saved us by His grace, well, He put us in Christ before the world began by grace. That was grace. From the time He saves us by grace to the time we die and everything He puts us through, His grace will always be sufficient. Always. Always. And the way God saves sinners will never change. We don't need to come up with any kind of new method, or we don't need to come up with any kind of any new message. We don't need to embellish the gospel. I was talking to Paul Mahan after he preached one time at home. Oh, just brought a great message. And I said, that was so good. And I said, Paul, you know, one time I was at a restaurant and I ordered steak. And she said, would you like some A1 sauce with it? I said, not if it's good. You don't have to embellish it if it's good. If that's a good steak, I don't need to put anything on it. But if it's not that good, then I'm going to have to doctor it up, you know. We don't have to embellish the gospel. It'll always be salvation in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. He will always be the focal point of salvation. It'll always be through faith in Christ and preaching Christ crucified. That will never change. Never change. And His covenant of grace, that covenant of grace that was made between God the Father and His Son concerning me and you, will never change. Now, as you and I go through all these changes, you know, I can look now, I can look at Tom, white-headed. When I knew Tom in the beginning, he was black-headed. He's black, but now it's white. I haven't aged as much as Tom, see. He's about 3 or 4 years older than me, is all. But through all the changes we go through, our families, this world, this country, Jesus Christ never changes. And that covenant that God made with Him will never change. Isn't that good? That contract, it's like a marriage contract. I'll never alter it. I'll never change it. I'll never change it. I thank God for that. Thank God that there is one, Jesus Christ, who never changes. All right.